בואו נשיר. אפשר לקבל שיר?
Can we have a song?
יש עוד אהבה בעולם, גם אם השתכחה, גם אם הסתתרה, גם אם טרם גילית את סודה. יש עוד אהבה בעולם, גם אם השתכחה, גם אם הסתתרה, גם אם טרם גילית את סודה. היא השיר של החיים, היא האור של השירים. קבל אותה, אל תרתח, רק לך
Let's sit, friends. I request from everyone to take in your hand something to write with, and your notebook or page that you have with you. Sit. I request from everyone to take in your hand something to write with. Here is one for Rav Leitman. And a page or a notebook that you received at the entrance. Shh. The last people, you should sit because we're already in the middle of the action. And write the next question. What do I demand from this lesson now? What do I demand from this lesson now? Again, what do I demand from this lesson now? What do I demand? What do I request? Be quiet, and everyone should think and write to himself.
באמת זה לא כנס, זה חג.
In truth, it's not a convention, it's a holiday. It's our holiday. This is how Oren said, I heard that we waited for this our entire life, but it's actually much, much more. The whole of reality is built in order to bring the person to the height of the Creator. And thousands of years, millions and billions of years, in fact, our world has evolved so that we will come to this point. The first man who opened this path discovered that there is a whole new reality that happened 5,772 years ago. He was the first to discover this ability that the human was not created to live like an animal. And from that Adam, from that first man, humanity began to ascend. And from him to Abraham, 20 generations passed, 20 generations of Kabbalists made a preparation. And then Abraham, another one of the chain, made a huge leap by putting together a group. Because from that point, it began to permeate humanity. And then there was a whole lineage of Kabbalists who kept this method and developed it from one to another until we came to the present state, where the whole of humanity has evolved to demand a new world. We still don't know, we don't feel what this is, but we feel that the world, the way we knew it, the way we understood its development, has stopped. How the world has fulfilled us before does no longer happen. Today, we have evolved, and after generations and thousands of years of development of our ego, we were developing only in this manner that we thought that what we will engage in will fulfill us. And now, it isn't the situation. We're in a global crisis, and it's not just a financial crisis. It's a crisis in our entire human life, in relationships, in education, relations between parents and children, divorce rates, people's attitude to country and to the countries and the nations and the world and society. Everyone feels that there is some loss of the path in life. Depression becomes pretty much the second leading disease in the world. And we've reached a point where we don't know how to continue. And at this point, finally, the wisdom that was hidden for 5,770 years ago is becoming revealed. And this is what the last Kabbalists and Baalei Sulam, basically the Kabbalists since the Ari and onwards, began to disclose this wisdom a bit more. And this wisdom explains to us about the continuation of humanity. How do we continue our progress? Before, we were always enclosed in our small ego. And now we actually have to rise above it and discover a new method of existence. Man, the human, was not born in order to be serving his body all the time. We see that the still vegetative and animate are always bothered with how to fulfill themselves. An animal always thinks about how do I eat, how do I take care of my descendants, and that's it. And we have evolved in much the same way, only we have added some occupations and businesses that only brought us further into a crisis. However, the human has a very special ability in his life. While the animal can only provide what it needs for itself and for its descendants, it isn't so for the human. There was actually a quote here that I specifically looked at. Not number two, number six, yes.
Excerpt number six in the study material. Balasulam writes this in the article Peace in the World. But this is all a private calculation, as when one works for oneself. But in a global calculation, the individual produces more than he takes for his own pleasure and sustenance. Thus, if the direction were to change from self-reception to bestowal, the individual will enjoy the entire produce he produces without much pain.
This means that the human has the ability to produce in his life during his days much more than what he needs for 10 other people, for 100 other people. If we use our capabilities correctly, this is so. Why did nature give us this? In order for us to actually do something completely different, not just to provide for our bodies more and more and more, but to use that extra time to rise to a higher level, to come to the level of Adam, which is similar to the Creator. Therefore, nature, which is equal to God in Gematria, meaning the surrounding force of nature that pushes us to develop, it pushes us so that we see that beyond our necessities, all that we do right now is only harming ourselves, and it brings us to a global, comprehensive crisis in all realms of life. And by that, nature is pushing us to a higher dimension. Instead of being engaged in fulfilling ourselves, what do we get from exiting ourselves? So the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us that there are two forces in the world, the pulling force and the pushing force, or plus and minus, light and desire, the will to bestow and the will to receive. And in our life, in our framework of this world, we only operate within the framework of one force. And although we seem to give things to each other and hand out things, it's only because we do good to ourselves. A person cannot get out of that. We're only built from a will to enjoy. And we can't feel the other part of reality, the part of bestowal, which is beyond our bodies. And there, in fact, is our next level, and that's what we have to reach. There are people who, for now, only suffer from this world, and they don't know how to move forward. They feel that life is tough, but what can you do? That's life. Other people, like us, already received this attraction force, this little spark that has surfaced in us towards reaching the next phase, the other dimension, to come out of our will to receive to a will to bestow. We don't know what it is. We weren't born there yet. It's just like being born in our world. In the same way, we have to be born in the new world. In our world, we are born by nature, and we have evolved by nature from generation to the next. In the new world, we have to be born alone by ourselves. with our own powers, because then we are exactly following the role of the Creator. We're using His forces, the force of bestowal and reception, but we're using it according to our own free choice, according to our own efforts. Then it appears that from nothing we build this new world to the level of its complete dimensions, which is called the world of Ein Sof, infinity. And that's how we attain the level of godliness. That's how we enter wholeness and eternity. And Kabbalists tell us that now is exactly the time of being born into the new world. And this is why we feel pressures, troubles, and an inclination to unite, because this is basically the first execution, application of the force of bestowal in our world, of in order to attain the force of bestowal. This is why Rabash tells us, we have gathered here in order to establish the foundation for a new society which is aimed at resembling the upper force and not to remain on the degree of an animal that only cares about itself. Rather, building ourselves and the new world, literally new world, above ourselves. And from here, all sorts of laws of the new world come. Kabbalists open them to us, they explain them to us, so that we know how to get along, how to prepare ourselves in a way that besides the will to receive and besides this world, we will find the will to bestow and the upper dimension. And we are coming to it. We already felt here and there some beginnings of that. It's like labor pains. When you want and you want to be born, and each time you have a new sensation, some impression of the higher dimension, and then once again we fall back into ourselves. And then, like in labor pains, like in this kind of process, we have to be born. I think it isn't just a regular convention. This is everyone's first convention. There are people here who study 15 years or more. There are people who perhaps even came for the first time. It's their first convention. But for all of us, it's the first. And this is because we were never before in a state where the world is desperate and it doesn't know where to go. And we feel that there is a way. And that point where everyone feels a descent and a crisis, we actually see it as a turning point. A point from which we ascend. So on the one hand, we feel hatred, troubles, crisis, this threat to the world is facing. On the other hand, Kabbalists explain that precisely from this point, from this state of darkness, this black state, there is a point of new entry for everyone. So for everyone, this convention is first of its kind, because we are actually building the Kli and we want to feel in our unity the higher dimension. In order to acquire the force of bestowal, the upper force, we were given the human society here in our world. The human is independent, is interdependent with everyone else. And the more we advance, the more interdependent we are. And although we try to use this connection, each for his own benefit as much as we can, in fact, this connection is going to flip, to invert to a force of mutual bestowal. And so Baal HaSulam explains to us, as you probably heard already, that each of us resembles a cogwheel. And we're all interconnected. We have a quote. We have this quote. Yes.
Yes, in the first excerpt, we have this one. Each and every individual in society is like a wheel that is linked to several other wheels placed in a machine. And this single wheel has no freedom of movement in and of itself, but continues with the motion of the rest of the wheels in a certain direction to qualify the machine to perform its general role. And if there is some breakdown in the wheel, the breakdown is not evaluated relating to the wheel itself, but according to its service and role with respect to the whole machine. That's Baal HaSulam, peace in the world.
We are built in this way. We don't need to change anything about this. The connection between us only appears more and more. And so it turns out that we don't know how to use it correctly, harmoniously. That's why we're in crisis. Because everyone wants to spin in a different direction. But once we begin to connect, just like, say, here and now, we have prepared for this convention so much, you know, it's like we had so much free time for people here because all the people wanted to help and prepare and set up everything. And so when it happens this way, we see that things just happen by themselves and so easily, and everything falls into place in a way that is just, you know, indescribable. Setting up the place for thousands of people, all the preparations, and yet everything happens with love and calmness. And this is really an example that is unparalleled in the world. Therefore, this convention is not one of studying. You won't hear a lot of studying here, although there are some, everything is ready for diagrams and studies and everything. But the convention is the right place to enter the connection between us, so that everyone finds inside this little cogwheel that is supposed to spin exactly harmoniously with all the others. And once there is some connection between us, on the smallest degree, we will begin to feel in its motion the upper light that spins all the wheels. And we just have to try to be sensitive to this connection, to feel it. It's there, perhaps not felt for us yet, but over the time, we will be able to rise to this. There are no bodies here. We have to transcend the bodies, no bodies. We only have to see everyone's inner desire to rise above. And these desires, when they connect, they will build the spiritual vessel. Each and every one who raises their desire for connection, this is called raising your power of God above, your spark, the point in the heart. And when we unite all these points together between us, then we create the soul. No one has a soul individually, only that point. But once we connect these points, we create the soul, or Malchut, or the Shekhinah, divinity. It's the same place where we discover the upper light, or the Creator. And it all depends on us. I'm certain that we have the power and the preparation to attain this. We also had a preparation about a month ago in the desert, and we saw that it's possible that we're coming closer to this collective Kli, and here we have a much greater power to do this. On the same opportunity, I want to thank all the women who are with us. Because although the connection happens especially between the men, the support of the women is necessary, it's crucial, because without it the men cannot connect. Therefore, I truly hope that they'll give us their wholehearted support, that they will truly want us to attain this connection, and then, like in a family, like in one family, we'll reach this collective feeling of the upper light, the upper world.
I would want for you to speak about this matter of the individual and the collective and how it connects to the work that we need to do between us here at the convention. And I will read the third excerpt first from Bala Sulam in Introduction to the Book of Zohar, number 68. Do not be surprised that one person's actions bring elevation or decline to the whole world, for it is an unbending law that the general and the particular, or the individual and the collective, are as equal as two peas in a pod. And all that applies to the general, the collective, applies in the particular, the individual, as well. Moreover, the parts make what is found in the whole, for the general can appear only after the appearance of the parts in it, according to the quantity and quality of the parts. Evidently, the value of an act of a part elevates or declines the entire whole.
When we connect, we're connecting all of us to this collective kli, the Malchut, the Shekhinah, divinity. It includes all of us, it gathers all of us. So everyone who comes to this connects to this collective force that dwells there. So everyone discovers the whole soul, the collective soul, where there is no difference between the particular and the collective, or the individual and the collective. In our world, there's no such thing. If there's one, there's one. If there's two, there's two. In the spiritual world, it's not like it, because if you reach it, you are included with all the others. Then you see there are no different details. It's just one reality. And what you felt before was your own individual perception. As we learn from perception of reality, what you feel in your individual kli is this world that you discover through your five bodily senses, which are actually generating this picture that is projected in your brain. And then you're like unconscious. That's what you discover when you come to the spiritual world and you perceive everything happening there. So there's no individual and collective in spirituality. It's very different. It's very weird with respect to our world. So everyone needs to understand that he is as important as all the others. There's no one greater or smaller. The greatest Kabbalists and the littlest person, the smallest person who doesn't know anything, in the collective body there is nothing redundant. That's why it's called wholeness. And therefore, on the other hand, each and every one of us should understand that it all depends on him. So we want to try to be connected in our desires above the bodies, above self-calculations, only as one desire, and the success depends on every one of us.
In one of the lessons in preparing for the convention, you said that we need to connect like drops of water that become as one drop. Maybe you can explain that to us.
Yes, this perhaps is a better example, I think, because, you know, when we think about connection, we usually think about one and another one and another one, and then there's a collection of items, like, say, in our body. So you have a collection of cells, a collection of organs, and this builds the body. In spirituality, it's not like this. In spirituality, everyone who joins becomes totally integrated with everyone. It's like in a holographic image. As much as you try to divide it, every little piece is representative of the entire picture. And if we reconnect all the pieces, they once again become the same picture. This is something that we can see in our world in special phenomenon of light, and it's the same in spirituality, if we can make this comparison, this analogy, that if we unite, another drop that joins connects to all the other drops in a way that it's just one drop. So you can't tell where is me and where are the others. So this is the kind of connection that we have to reach. And in truth, we already felt it in the preparation. And let's hope that we will try to reach it once more. That a person loses his self, rises above his self to us, to we. And then even above we have to rise a bit more, because we still means us. It's all of us. But we need not even the connection of many together, but to one. To that concept of one we need to reach, because that's the success for us. That's where we'll feel our spiritual birth.
I would want to add that the seventh excerpt from the writings of Baal HaSulam in Peace in the World. The drawback, the place that needs correction, is that each and every individual will understand that his own benefit and the benefit of the collective are one and the same thing. In that, the world will come to its full correction.
There is a problem that the whole world is going through now, and it still needs to spread all over the globe, that this global crisis is not coming to an end. We were already talking about it maybe 10 years ago, no one wanted to hear. 5 years ago, I spoke about it in various places in the world, in various conventions, committees. No one heard. This wasn't recognized or understood. I even tried writing this book with this known American philosopher. He said, no, I'm forbidden to write about this, because among the philosophers, we're not talking about the crisis. No one talks about it. So we didn't write the book, because there was nothing to write about. And now, it isn't the case. Although even in 2008, people still said, no, things will go back on track, it's all good, but we don't understand where we are. It isn't the euro or the American problem. It's the problem we're facing is that the human has to change his attitude to life. If we always live our life is always revolving around the job, the work. 24 hours a day, we're always revolving around the work, and the same thing with whether it's kindergarten or school or anything else, it's all about the work. And we've become slave in the last 20 years. And why? No one knows. Because if you look at it from a side, what's happening is that there's this whole business that is purposeless. What we're doing is simply depleting the planet and polluting it, and that's it. Nature will force us to feel the impact very strongly as a broad, escalating global crisis all over the world. Unless the person will first understand what is the direction this is taking. So the fact that we are sitting here, and first of all, we're thinking about how do we succeed in our spiritual attainment, we have to understand that what's happening to us now has already happened in a generation that is happening in a generation that is worthy of godly revelation, because the whole world is worthy of it. So we who are here now, and millions of friends that we have all over the world who are with us, connected to us even now online, and we really shouldn't forget about all those friends. They're all around, they're with us, connected to us in all the places, in all the continents. We have to understand I've received infinite emails from friends who can't come for all kinds of reasons, and it's really not simple. We need to understand that we are here, and all of those outside this building, all over the world, we all have received an awakening because we are meant to draw this light that connects us together above the bodies, above this little reality, in order for the whole of humanity. We have to bring this light to the world. The whole world is suffering, and this suffering will only escalate. And we have to try to change the progress, not to be in the path of suffering, but in a path of light. And it depends on us. Therefore, in all of our intentions, we have to add that this is for everyone, for the whole world. And we have to feel ourselves as a passageway, that we're going to attain the higher dimension in order to pull the whole world into it. Let's hope we won't forget about this, and then we will have the force, then we will have support from above. Because nature's direction, the general plan, is that the whole of humanity will come to that higher dimension, and we will leave the feeling of this imaginary world, which only exists in the will to receive. And in both desires, the will to receive and the will to bestow, you feel a completely different existence, one that's whole and eternal.
I wanted to add also here the excerpt number 8, in relation to what you said, where we and the whole of humanity need to reach, from the article of Balasulam's Peace in the World. When we come to the highest point of the degrees, we will all be using our singularity only in a form of bestowal upon others. And there will never be any case of any person using it in a form of self-reception. By those words, we find the opportunity to examine the conditions of life in the last generation, the time of world peace, when the whole of humanity achieves the level of the first side and will use their singularity only in the form of bestowal upon others and not at all in the form of reception for self.
As I said in the beginning of this talk, we humans, as opposed to animals, are capable of producing 10 times more or 100 times more of what we actually need. So if we each understand that this was given to us in order to serve others and only receive what we need, then we will see a different world, both this world, until we all unite, and then the whole world will then rise to the higher level. What we have left is really a few years for this to happen, and we can do it now. So let's hope we won't extend it throughout a long time.
Maybe before we go to questions and answers, Yaniv will add something about the connection between us. From the writings of Balasulam, Igeret number 13. You should know that there are sparks of bestowal in each one. And when all the sparks of bestowal come together in one place, in the seating of friends, in love and friendliness, there will be this measure of complete bestowal, which is very important for all of life.
So let's use this convention. Everyone who, you know, when you're home, you can see all the activities and gathering of friends and lessons on the screen. Now it's our opportunity to be together all over the to be together. I hope that all our friends all over the world are also coming together in their centers, in wherever they can, to also have mutual activities and be together. This is a time of excitement. This is a time of tasting a bit of this power of light that we can draw upon ourselves. Therefore, we're not going to have a lot of studying, but you know, just like we get used to tasting food or getting used to something, then we discover greater depth in it. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's much more than that. When you discover the light for the first time, it's called light of nefesh. The second time, it's called light of ruach, then neshama, chaya, yechida. Meaning, each time, when you discover the same thing, as it is said, I ate the same thing, what it means is that each time I taste the same thing, I actually delve into a deeper level. And that's what we need to yearn for. The wisdom of Kabbalah is called the interior of the Torah, meaning that we each time have to feel deeper and deeper levels of the power of connection between us. That's where the light is hidden.
We'll go to questions and answers now. So I'm reminding again, we have two stands for questions and answers at the in the two sides there. We have people responsible there with yellow hats. Rav Leitman, maybe we'll sing before that. Let's sing something that will wake us up.
בסופו של דבר כל מה שסביב מרגיש שלך אבל שייך לאחרים עוד מלדה אתה פונה ובכלל לא מזהה שבזה שממולך יש חלקים מתוכך ורק האור קטן מאוד ביבר ובנאור תזיז עולמות כי מה שיש לבחור וזה רק סביבה זה יכול להיות טוב יכול להיות רע בסופו של דבר כל מה שסביב מרגיש שלך ושייך לאחרים עוד מלידה אתה שונא ובכלל לא מזהה שבזה שממולך יש חלקים מתוכך ורק האור קטן מאוד בימים ובלילות אם כבר נכון תזיז עולמות אני שונא אותך למרות שאתה זה אני
אתה שונא אותי למרות שאני זה אתה אותו החלק שבך
תשע שנים בשטחך כבר גורם לי למבוכה
אני שונא אותך ויכול לדעת
מה שיש לבחור זה רק סביבה זה יכול להיות טוב זה יכול להיות רע בסופו של דבר כל מה שסביב מרגיש שלך וזה שייך לאחרים שיש לי חום זה רק סביבה זה יכול להיות טוב זה יכול להיות רע בסופו של דבר כל מה שסביב מרגיש שלך אבל שייך לאחרים מה שיש לי חום זה רק סביבה זה יכול להיות טוב זה יכול להיות רע בסופו של דבר כל מה שסביב מרגיש שלך אבל שייך לאחרים
יש שאלות, ניב, דודי, יש?
Are there questions, Niv, Dudi? Are there? Let's listen to the first question, please. First question. Hello, I'm Gil from Nitzpe Ramon. Firstly, thanks to everyone who came. There are a lot of people here from all around the world, and it's simply this excitement which is unbelievable. But I didn't come here for that. I came here to search for the connection and for requesting the connection and for making everything possible in order to attain it. So how... So I would want for you to direct me a little bit, whether in thought or in action, what precisely do I need to do in order to make this convention one, simply one?
I don't know how long you're studying and whether you already know this, but we come to this reality of this world, well, after a big shattering, what's called shattering of the vessels. The Creator created one reality which exists. It's there, and it's called Ein Sof, infinity. This reality goes through a shattering, and all of its pieces are eventually us. Therefore, all that we are supposed to do is only reconnect to this one reality. As I already said, we go through some historical process, the result of which should be discovering the evil in our nature. It's called recognition of evil, which means that our ego kills us. It destroys us. It simply kills us. And there is no other way to even exist but rising above this egoistic life force. Therefore, once a person begins, according to his inner development, to feel an urge to discover the spiritual world, the upper dimension, to be born, to exit our dark world. Rav writes, this world. So he feels an urge towards a group. He doesn't understand it as a group. He's drawn to some place where he can study. And there he sees people who are also interested in this. Then he starts hearing that all the study is about some upper worlds that are somehow structured above. And all of this is theory. It doesn't give him anything. It's full of infinite details. Kabbalists write this for two reasons. As Bala Sulam explains to us in item 155 in Introduction to Tess, Talmud HaSosfot, that the first purpose is for them to talk to each other about what they feel in the upper world. Say, like, I know some new country or I got to know a certain phenomenon in our world and I want to share it with others, and this enriches all of us. So I share it with you, you share something with me, and everyone shares something with others. So Kabbalists write it for each other. So for them, this is a great asset because I can open a Kabbalistic writing of someone and accordingly understand and feel what's happening with all this system of forces in the spiritual world. So what is it for us? Meaning, if you are already in the spiritual world, then it's clear that for you, the Kabbalistic books are like user manuals or like tour guides. You know, so you simply get to know the upper world better and better, and you expand your force and absorption and perception. But what does it do for us when I'm still here in the middle between this and that, between this world and the spiritual world? What will it give me? So the Kabbalists say, if you long, you yearn to reach that spiritual upper world, through your yearning, you draw the light that reforms upon yourself. If you study Kabbalah books that talk about a world that you don't know, it doesn't matter that you don't know it. You learn about it and you as if integrate in that system so that it influences you. What do we need to do? Sit and study. However, studying on your own doesn't help. There is another condition. By studying on my own, it's the opposite. I will only increase my egoistic force. This is called that the Torah becomes the potion of death for me. It is said that Torah can be a potion of life or a potion of death, meaning I become more and more egoistic to the point that I become cruel and horrible. I think that I deserve everything and everyone else is lesser than me and so on. And this comes from this kind of studying. But in order to come to the spiritual force of bestowal, there's a group here between this and that. I have to enter some system called a group where I am integrated. If I study in the group, work in the group, connect with the group, I lose myself completely there, as if I don't exist. I live my regular life, at work, with the family, all of this, but I want to entirely be connected to the group and disappear there. Like we said about the drop of water that joins with the other drops and disappears there. In the same way, I need to dissolve in the group, in its inner power. And then I discover that the group is not a group. It's not the people and faces that I am looking at now. So instead of that, I'm seeing this unique upper force, unified force that connects them and elevates them. And this force is the Creator. That's the light. Therefore, we have gathered here in order to support each and every one, so that we all connect, so that we all begin to feel this force that's above us, which is unified. And this also requires everyone to be responsible for the others, because the more I invest in this, the more I allow the others to invest in this and be integrated as well. And through these mutual efforts, we'll achieve this connection. Once we achieve the minimal level of connection, the minimal level possible, we each feel the upper dimension. Then we're born. So, good luck.
Maybe before the next question, we want to add this short excerpt from the writings of Rabash, the article Love of Friends. Each and everyone should think that he comes now to the goal of nullifying his self-love. that he won't be thinking how to fulfill his will to receive of himself, but that he'll think now of how much he can fulfill in love of others. Only through that can he receive a desire and a need that he needs to receive this new quality called the will to bestow. And from the love of friends, he will be able to reach the love of the Creator. The next question. Good morning. I very much want to thank everyone for being here, and especially you, that you arranged this. May all, really for me, this morning lesson. It's as if everything was directed directly at me, that I thought, well, I knew what love of others was and mutual guarantee is, and that I was there, and I was already understood that I was ready to connect beyond myself to everyone. But I paid attention that I'm really angry that things aren't happening the way I want, and that puts me on the side. And now, with the things that the Rav said in this lesson, I suddenly understood that in terms of a little drop, that it needs to get mixed into the general ocean, and that will vitalize all the drops. But I want to know, what is this ocean? As if I'm nullifying my personality and I enter as a drop and I'm swallowed by that, and my uniqueness is in that I am in the ocean because I'm bestowing on other drops and them on me. So what is that ocean?
So is it really worthwhile to, you know, to give up on what I have? In other words, that's what you're asking. Tell me what it is, show me what it is, and then I'll decide. I agree. Well, first of all, that's not how you come to the quality of bestowal. That's how you come to a greater quality of reception. We understand this. This is why we're using a unique force here. It's called the force of the light, the force of bestowal, which is hidden to us, but we can invite it, attract it to us. This is what I wanted to basically emphasize here, that if we are in the group, if we are connected, even just somewhat connected, to a small extent, even not like these drops of water yet. We can't do it, but we're trying. Let's learn from kids. I always give this example because it's just a compatible example. When a kid plays a game, he doesn't know what he's doing. Nature is pushing him to build things, break things apart, try all kinds of things. It's called, you know, studying like a monkey. He looks at us and mimics us. And they learn from examples. They learn from exercises where what they do, they don't really understand what they're doing. But from the exercise, from doing it, from working on it, I begin to feel a certain emotion there, a certain mind, intelligence, a system that's working, and it begins to build me. That's how we grow as children, until we become adults. And that's how it is in spirituality. It's the same principle, meaning we have to play. I hug the others, although I don't really feel like it. You're right. I speak about love. What love? I love myself. True. I sing with all the others these pretty songs. It's all bluff. It's all false. True. But we want to rise above that. Somewhat. And even that is not our own strength. It's this awakening that we were given, this little awakening. However, if we just put all these things together by ourselves, That's our free choice. And we're not like children here. Nature doesn't push us to do this instinctively. Otherwise, instead of humans, spiritually, we would be what's called angels. Angels is like an animal. Meaning, it follows the laws of nature. We have to come to this consciously and of our own accord. Therefore, I have to do these exercises when I don't really want to, when I don't even trust it that much. Show me, and then I don't have anything to show you. I can't show you. First of all, how will you see it? You don't have the eyes, the senses that are spiritual. So how can you see it? How can you see spiritual phenomena? However, if we engage in connection, in the hope that our efforts will somehow be drawn to it, somewhat according to those sparks that we each have, these beginnings that we have, we have to just try to carry it out, to implement this beginning. And certainly we will fall and go up and down from today to tomorrow, and until even tomorrow we have a lot of time. We are 72 hours going to be working. And it's a lot of time, and some people are here for even a week or 2 weeks, and with others we even started this whole thing from a month ago. All of this is in order for us to succeed maintaining ourselves inside in a way that this is all false, I don't want all these things, why do I need to connect with others and with who and why and so on. And above that, above this very clear reality of who am I and what is the world and all of my important things that I need to do and these things that seem so important and crucial in this world and the businesses of this world and media and so on, above all of this, I build my upper world without erasing this lower reality. I'm in it. I am aware of it being there, and with it, I'm going above it. This is called having bestowal above reception. We also call it faith above reason. If I engage in these two levels, and I'm aware of it, meaning the lower level, it's as though I want to cancel it, to revoke it, like it's not important. And I want to increase the higher level to make it greater and only work towards connection. It's like I leave this whole world for 3 days. Do I deserve at least 3 days of leaving this world from my 70 years of life? Great, so that's what I want to do now. If we try, make an effort to be in connection, in this kind of connection between us, despite the ego, despite that below us we have this mountain of hatred. So in the oppositeness between this and that, meaning I have this world of reception and the upper world of bestowal, I can't extend this board, but if I try to do it like this, then it turns out like this. I have this world and the upper world, and between them I feel a gap, the difference. And I sense these two worlds, but now, for this bit of time, I want to somewhat delete this world, meaning to overshadow this world, to be more in the upper world. What are the laws of the upper world? Oneness, unity, connection, love. That's where I want to be. If I try, like a baby, if I try to assemble this game, this puzzle, then an inner light awakens, which is now still a surrounding light for me. meaning that it shines on me from afar. It's not tangibly felt by me, but it connects us. And once we make an effort to connect, and that light completes the connection, then we become this spiritual vessel with the inner light. Then you'll see what you want to see now. Okay? In other words, play nice like a good kid. What? Question or quote?
Matvey, Kievskaya группа. Нас приехала большая группа, больше 100 человек.
Matvey from the Kiev group, and they're also here. More than 100 people from Kiev. We are all here for 3 days, more than 100 people from Kiev, and I'm going around with that same question for all these days. I want very much to unite with the Spanish that are here, with the Germans, with the Italians, with the Israelis, with the Spaniards. How do we do that? How can we get over this big gap that is between us?
Perhaps you noticed that there are veteran friends here, students that study with me for 10 years and more. And when they come to our center from overseas, you know, I wave at them, and that's it, no more than that. And they could be coming from Chile, Australia, very remote places. And even when they leave, you know, they don't really say goodbye. And like, at first it was, you know, I'm leaving now and everything. And now it's like, you know, oh, I came, okay, great. Because I don't feel, first of all, I don't feel what language, unless we're working on some technical issue. Then, and I'm, unlike you, I'm totally blocked in terms of languages. I have a problem with languages. So, you know, after 40 years, I still barely know Hebrew. Yeah, seriously, what can you do? Yeah, this really, yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's for the better. Probably there is this higher purpose for this that I still didn't attain. So I can't. This stutterness. So you don't need the faces, their corporeal traits, properties of this world. They're still, you don't need to feel anything in them besides the spark. The sparks are above this world. It's above our whole nature. It's a part of God above. It's a part of the soul. So what's the matter? Connecting with them is a problem? I don't know. I don't see any faces here. I see a force, a unified force that wants to connect, that wants to attain adhesion with the upper force, that our collective force will reach the force, the upper force, and adhere to it. This is what I'm seeing, this direction, that everyone makes an effort, that everyone is willing to work here, to do what he's told, anything. It's only this intention that we always have to maintain. We are all as one man and one heart. And then we will succeed. On this condition that we want to connect, this was the condition for receiving the Torah, as it's written. Are you willing to connect as one man in one heart? The Torah is this light, this surrounding light that reforms. And then despite the mountain of hatred, Mount Sinai, between us, you rise above that hatred and turn it into a mountain of holiness. Because we also need our ego. It helps us to overcome and make this overcoming. Look at children, how they're stubborn when they're trying things. I love learning from children. They give me the exact examples of what I need to do. Sometimes I can catch this certain, you know, way of how nature pushes a kid to do something, to be stubborn, to, you know, he's getting mad at something until he succeeds. We need to come to that. So don't look at faces, languages. Generally, there are no friends here. There's this connection, one connection that you need to reach. And even more, once we each attain this connection, we start seeing that there's no group. There is no group. There is only this Malchut of Ensof. And besides me, it was always was there. Only I was missing there. And this is what each and every one will attain. And what we're seeing here and in general in our whole wide world, all of it is an imaginary world. You'll see and feel that it doesn't exist. It was just what you felt in your lack of consciousness. And once you reach it, you start seeing that everyone is there. Everyone is great and whole, and you're just joining them. So then there's no one that it's with which it's difficult to connect. If we're all together, look, just imagine that we are all united besides you. That's it. So we're waiting.
We're going to read an excerpt from Baal HaSulam, Igeret number 4. It's written this way. You lack nothing but to come out into the field where the Creator is and to unite all those organs that are there that from your soul and to join them into one body. And in this complete body, the Creator will dwell in constancy without any stopping. And this will complete the picture and this will be like a well that never ends.
Yeah, you'll discover that everything is corrected besides you. Please.
Hello. I am excited.
That's good.
I have a question. If all of us are meant to unite into one vessel, what is the meaning of the separation between women and men here in this hall?
Look, I'll answer you like a man. Although I'm quite old, in man's nature, and I'm talking about men, on behalf of the men, if they don't agree, they should say so. When we see a woman, it confuses us. Yes or no?
Yes.
It's really so. That's nature. There's nothing to do about it. There's nothing good or bad here. We are in a world that is infused with laws. Man's nature is that, in general, there's this prohibition to look at women. We're talking about high things in spirituality. But simply, if I want to focus on some abstract concept, spiritual concept, which is unity between us, and unity is only between the men, and I can explain this in a bit, one second, but if this is the case, then it's impossible for me to see a woman in between us. It immediately throws my intention to all kinds of other earthly things. That's how we're built. Therefore, we try to be connected between us, the men, and to slightly avoid contacting women too much and these desires and these discussions because it disturbs us. It disturbs us greatly. We need your support, of this collective women, a woman that sits here. We need all of you, and we want all of you to be with us. It's impossible to reach spirituality without this support, but the support has to be from the outside. The women are around us, and the men are inside. Find me some strong quote about this, yes? So it is said that this is the status of Mount Sinai. There was this situation where the 600,000 men were surrounded by 3 million, up to 3 million women and children. This is also how we are built in our soul. A woman is the force of Malchut that supports and helps in a good or a bad way, but it awakens the man. A man without a woman would not achieve anything, for sure. Man, come on. Show them. But our work is a separate work. A woman represents like the place, the house, where a man should deliver the sustenance. And a woman is also Bina. So we serve this Kli, but first just let us attain spirituality. Then we'll share it. No, but we need that help. We need this support. And therefore, I'm also asking, don't disturb the men. We are weak. You are all beautiful and great, and just support us.
Read a short excerpt from Yirkut Shimoni from the Psalms.
Rabbi Akiva demanded that thanks to the righteous women,
again,
the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Again, Rabbi Akiva said that thanks to the righteous women, the people of Israel came out of Egypt. I don't even want to, you know, to talk so much about it, because it's very much obvious how interdependent we are in all our preparations, in all our work. Women are always supporting it and doing so much for it, and so much jobs that they do and positions they occupy, and without it we can't do anything. But when we're talking about connection, look, don't be confused. When we're talking about our dissemination factory, working on our materials, content, all those things, there is no replacement for a woman. A woman is always much more loyal and much better. And I always prefer working with women, because men are always kind of on the air and confused. Women are more stable. This is something that is natural. It's by nature like that. Men are weaker. Woman is also the one who gives birth. We see this from spirituality too. But where this is about connection, it is a very subtle issue. It is a very subtle thing. The men have to do this around themselves, between themselves, on their own. So you shouldn't disturb them or... you know, it's like a woman, like a mother sends her kid to school, or like a woman sends her man to bring sustenance home. This is how we have to do it together, okay? So we're expecting that.
Maybe we'll read another short excerpt from the Book of Zohar, from the portion Bereshit, number 2. Come and see, at the time when the person in his house, in his home, the main thing in his home is his women. When the Shekhinah, the divinity, is at his house thanks to the women.
Nothing to add. Yes, please.
Maybe before the next question, I just want to point out, if it's not clear, you can ask questions in every language. So, friends from the world, you're invited to ask. We have many days, many places for questions. So, we have a whole team of translators ready to translate you in every language. Please, the next question. Hi, Bokur Tov, morning, good morning. My name is Ian from the Jerusalem Group. I came here. Jerusalem is a very special city, and everyone is invited to come on Friday. We have a special trip for everyone who's here at the convention. I came here through the traffic on the road number one from the road of Ayalon, and I'm a bit ashamed because I just remembered that yesterday and today, there's people who came here over flights from one end of the world to the other, 22 hours, maybe 50 countries, and I just do not grasp how they got here. It simply amazed me to see them. I still haven't even come to your degree, and I do see I do see bodies, blacks, Chinese, Asians, whites, different languages, and I'm simply approaching them, and only through smiles and hugs is it possible to connection. It works and acts, and I want simply to say thank you. And the gratitude is something very, very strong. And I think and recommend that every single one here in this hall should say thank you to each and every one in this world, in this hall, in that they came here with all the efforts. Really, a big, big, big thank you.
Yes.
Thank you to all of our
guests. I want to add, and perhaps maybe even blur it a little. No one came here in his own efforts. We were all gathered here because that upper force, this global integral force of nature that is now closing in on our world, has pushed us to come here, and that's why we're here. So first of all, we have to thank it, that upper force. And this should also give us great responsibility. The people who came from overseas, they did put a lot of effort into it, and we all have to help each other. I have to feel responsible for everyone. Mutual guarantee that it depends on me whether they'll get something or not. And people really use their last money, made great efforts. Some even go back without being sure about their work because they had to, they really wanted to come without being sure about what's going to happen afterwards. We have to share all of these efforts and difficulties. It's not simple to come here. And we each of us has to feel that I am responsible, that I'm in charge of everyone else attaining spirituality. Let's think about this.
Next question.
Объясните, пожалуйста, Рав, зачем Творец дал женщинам свойства суеты и бессмысленных разговоров? Как Откуда они и как помогают они в готовности прыгнуть в Красное море? Спасибо.
Someone wants to translate? Yes, we need to translate it. Please explain why did the Creator give women some qualities that they speak in this kind of tasteless way and also gives them this big excitement. How can he help us in this crossing of the Red Sea?
I Well, to tell you just the truth, in my spiritual attainment, I didn't attain this yet. But really, I don't think that women are more, you know, chit-chatting than men. I don't think they're more scattered than men. I think the opposite. And I think we're coming closer to a point where a woman, as much as we talk about a woman being closer to spirituality, the woman becomes more and more important with regards to this. The fact that there are other properties and other characteristics all has to do with our functions, our role. I think that once we reach our correct spiritual worlds, where everyone just takes what he needs in this world and occupies his share, his space in order to raise the whole world with him, then both men and women carry out all their qualities and all their capabilities in the correct way. Really, the issue is that everyone should not be confused and follow what they're supposed to do. Again, if we all follow this correctly, we will see that everyone has what they need for spiritual attainment and for connection with others. Not more and not less. Exactly. Because we all come from this one collective place where we're all like these pieces of mosaic, of this cogwheels, like, and we just went apart. So if we go back to be towards each other, we see that all our natural resources, our traits and qualities will be exactly working towards the others. And then you'll see that no one has anything that is redundant. You know, there are many situations in life when we kind of eat each other, eat ourselves up. Why am I like this? Why am I like that? I'm very this or that. It's incorrect. It's because we used these traits not in the right way. And so nothing is redundant in anyone, not in you as well.
Last question, please. Just put the microphone right up to your mouth. Hello, Rav. Hello, all the world Kli and everyone. My name is Shalom from Beit Kabbalat Ha'am in Haifa. It is very exciting to be at the convention. This is the first convention of everyone, and as well, it's my first convention. It's the first time I succeed in coming to the convention, and it's impossible to depict the feeling of being here. I wasn't at previous convention, but I feel that here we will, as if it seems, come to attainment, and thanks to the Creator and to Rav. And my question is this: if everything is one in the world of Ein Sof, the world of infinity, then there is this fable that says that as their faces are different from each other, then their opinions are different from each other. How does that get along with this idea of the one?
Because everyone is a cogwheel in and of himself, just like the organs and cells in our bodies. Everyone has its own role. Spiritual development is not about destroying myself. On the contrary, the more you advance, the greater your ego becomes. It's called one who's greater than his friend, his inclination is greater than himself, his evil inclination. And we don't eliminate it. God forbid. We are not supposed to eliminate anything in us or in our world. We just have to find the right use for it. And therefore, you will see a perfect world. Besides connection, besides bonding, nothing is missing. So, as I said, we seemingly cancel this world for us. We in order to help our connection. But after we attain that connection, we once again go back to our ego and use it. Our path, a few more minutes, okay? They're asking me to finish the lesson. Our path is such that we rise from our world to the level of Bina, then to the level of Keter. This is Malchut. This is the degree of Bina, then the degree of Keter. The degree of Bina is called Chafetz Chesed, delighted in mercy, bestowal, pure bestowal, complete bestowal. So, we first rise to the complete quality of bestowal. How do I do this? By undergoing the first restriction, Tzimtzum Aleph, over my desire. I restrict my desire only in order to connect together. No differences, no languages, no faces, no countries, nothing. I only want to gather the points in the hearts. I want to gather all of these here. Once I gathered all of these points in the hearts, I've attained the level of Bina, the level of bestowal. Once I have attained that, what am I doing now? I begin to rise and raise both Malchut and Bina together to the level of Keter. So if here it was only bestowal, now it's receiving in order to bestow. Meaning that I use my complete ego. Here I only use the force of bestowal. Wait, let's show it like this. Here, right here, I'm using all my force of reception. Now I'm canceling it as if it doesn't exist. It's called the first restriction, Tzimtzum. And then I want to acquire only the force of bestowal, a force that is not at all in my nature. After I've acquired this force of bestowal, then I'm using both of these forces to reach Keter, where both forces, receiving and bestowing, exist in me. So nothing is cancelled. Only in the meantime, in order to acquire the force of bestowal, we somewhat diminish the force of reception to help us catch that. But once you do, you see how it happens. And I think that there are already people here who feel this. When I attain a certain force of bestowal, I immediately begin to descend. It's called a fall, a descent. And then I attain a greater force of bestowal, then I descend deeper, and then a greater force, and so on. And that's how it happens all the time. One who's greater than his friend, his inclination is greater than himself. I need that in order to acquire my force of bestowal. So nothing was created for no reason. You're not eliminating anything. You're not forgetting anything. In spirituality, there's no coercion. There's no coercion. You actually find complete realization of all of the qualities and traits in you that you didn't even think of.
Our time has finished.
Maybe let him just add one thing. Yes.
We're going to read an excerpt from the writings of Rabash, number 2, the Igeret, number 42. It's written, "The nation is as one man as one heart," and there is to understand how could there be one man in one heart, but it's known what the sages said, in that their faces are not similar to each other, so then their opinions are also not similar to each other, and how could it be that there is one man and one heart? What is that everyone nullified their own authority, and everyone put only the benefit of the Creator, and then there are no individual opinions, that all the details, the individuals, became nullified, and everything became under the one authority.
This is what we need to attain. So, last words. We have begun. And from now on, it doesn't matter what activities we have. There will be lessons and discussions and workshops and songs, certainly, dancing. It doesn't matter. It's just like we don't pay attention to the faces, we also don't pay attention to the activities, the actions. I don't care. I only care about one thing. Anything that can be a greater unity of our points in the hearts. That's it. And only this. And once you focus on this, after a while, you'll see that there's a reality here that we just didn't see before. It was just kind of blurred. And now we see that it's several times greater than our world. Let's try to always maintain that. They wrote down something in the beginning of the lesson, right?
Yes, we had a question. What do I demand from the lesson now? What do I request?
Well, I personally think this is what we should expect. Only asking for connection above all of this world, no bodies here, nothing here, to feel that we are in this one reality. L'chaim.
Yeah.